All right. This is, what is the date? It's the 25th Thursday, 25th of August, and this is the meeting of the Affiliate Task Force for Pacifica, the Pacifica Foundation. My name is Heather Gray, and I am the chair pro tem. We will be having elections tonight, however. But, so I'm calling this meeting to order, and I'm going to ask Secretary Teresa to please do a roll call.
Okay. This is the Pacific Affiliates Task Force meeting. Is Jack Kurzweil there? Here? No. Chandra Hauptmann? I don't hear anything. Cynthia Johnson? Not hearing anything. Kim Kaufman?
Here.
Present. Thank you. Sequoia Mercier? No response. Teresa Allen is here. Jessica Polinar? Not hearing any response, Jessica. Jim Boyd from KPFT? Not hearing response. Jim Kraska from KPFT? Not hearing response. Luke Jones? No response. Nia Bidiaco?
Present.
Okay. John Brinkley?
Here.
Okay. Elizabeth Brown? No response. Mitch Cohen? No response. Kathy Davis? No response. Campbell Johnson? Campbell Johnson is asked to be excused. Is there any objection to that? Okay. Heather Gray?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Athea Wangaza? I'm not hearing a response. Ursula Rudenberg?
Here.
Thank you. Dina Kolber?
Here.
Okay. There you go, Madam Chair.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is the election of co-facilitators. So I know we've sent out quite a bit of information about this to everyone. The co-facilitators can be board members, any board member. And I'm getting an echo. Are you all getting an echo when I'm speaking?
Yeah, but it's not that bad.
Okay. And we are supposed to, according to the structure that passed the task force and the board of directors, we're supposed to have an election of co-facilitators after three meetings of the task force. And so I'm going to have to ask the pleasure of the folks on the call today how we proceed with this. We can have co-facilitators, and so we will be asking for nominations. Now, I sent out a listing of the board members on the Affiliates Task Force. Did you all get that, by the way?
Yes.
Did everyone get that?
Well, are you asking if we have received a copy of?
Did you receive the listing of the, I think somebody else just came on. Who is that?
I'm sorry, Heather. I got dropped.
So you got
I'm
dropped.
Now. Yeah, I got dropped. So I missed everything you said.
Well, I'm just asking if everyone received the listing of the board members on the Affiliate Task Force who are eligible to be co-facilitators of the Affiliates Task Force. So did everyone receive that?
I did,
yes.
I haven't been on my email, but I can now look at my iPhone.
Well, just let me tell everyone so everyone knows that the board members on the Affiliate Task Force are Teresa Allen, Jessica Apollinar, Nia Bidiaco, Kathy Davis, Campbell Johnson, Heather Gray, and Afia Nungaza. I never pronounced her name correctly. I apologize. So,
Wait. Why aren't I on there? Oh, PNB. PNB, sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. They are PNB board members, yeah.
But, right. Heather, you should also mention yourself.
Yeah, I did. I put my name in the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to ask for nominations. So we need two. We need to select co-facilitators. So
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Teresa?
Yes.
I would like to nominate Campbell Johnson. He has expressed a desire to serve as co-chair.
All right, excellent. So are there other nominations?
This is Dina Colbert. I'd like to nominate Heather Gray.
All right, well, thank you. So do we have other nominations? No more nominations? All right, so should we call? Sorry?
We'll just close it, and we don't have to vote because we have
we have co-facilitators. So is that agreeable with everyone? We'll close the nomination process? No objection? All right, excellent. That's easy enough. All right, so we'll move forward on the agenda.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just got a call from Chandra Hoffman. She can't she cannot come onto the call for at least another hour.
Oh, okay.
So can I ask for an excuse absence for her for now, at least?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
So let's go on to the next item on the agenda, which is, and I went to that other list, so what is it, you all? Let me see. The next item is the approval of the minutes for June and July. Did you all receive the minutes?
Yes.
So has everyone had a chance to look at least the June minutes?
Yes.
I'm hearing a yes. I don't know. Is that everyone? Pretty much?
Well, maybe you should phrase it if there's no objection. So.
Are there any objections to approving the minutes for June? No objections. Has everyone had an opportunity to look at the July minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any objections to approving the minutes for July? All right. No objections. Excellent. So the minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is a report from the affiliate director, Ursula. So, Ursula.
Okay.
Give us a report. And I know you're going to talk about the GRC, right?
Yeah. I mean, other than the GRC, basically fulfilling the contracts right now is my main job. I think there's about, if I remember correctly, we're at about $216,000 right now in paid fees, and there's about $60,000 outstanding, which is actually 660.
Okay.
And that's pretty much on target for what happens. It's actually a little bit ahead of the game because a lot of the fees come in during the last quarter, which is what we're in now. And so we're pretty much on schedule with payments, but usually that last chunk of money requires me tracking down people who have forgotten to pay their fees or for some reason can't. And, you know, so this is this last group of payments gets to be kind of labor intensive. So I'm trying to focus on contracts with these people first so that we simultaneously get paid while making the new contracts. I did at the GRC request with some of our older affiliates that I could make a 2-year contract with them because our relationships are very stable. There's not going to be a whole lot of change. And with Arlene's approval, I asked them whether we could do that because it'll just cut down on a significant amount of work for me next year because this contract thing is becoming a really huge thing because we have, you know, a significant number of affiliates by now. And that wasn't really a problem for anybody. So with our older affiliates, the larger paying affiliates, I'm basically just making a 2-year contract this year. And I need to actually thank Dina for that suggestion. That was her idea, and I think it was a good one. I've also been helping with the 9/11 broadcast in terms of getting the word out to it. And a number of stations at the GRC said they would simulcast the content with us. Still also working on getting the administration of the new audio port taken care of and getting promos, on-air promos to the Al Jazeera Live, Al Jazeera English affiliates, and I have to thank KPFT for their cooperation in that. Ernesto has been organizing that, and Dwayne Bradley has been doing the recordings, and so I really appreciate their help. And so all of our affiliates are getting promos for custom-made programs for Al Jazeera. And there are a number of new programs in AudioPort that sound pretty good. Two of them that I can come to mind are a new program on education and a food program, which is kind of nice. Those are both from independent production groups. From now until the end of September, basically I'm just going to be finishing up the contracts nonstop. It's a pretty large job because, you know, the older contracts go pretty easily. They're pretty standard. But then there's the newer stations. There's just a lot of people that you have to call, you know, many times before you can really figure out what's going on and if they exist, if they don't exist. And so it ends up being kind of messy at the end. So we're kind of entering that phase now. The GRC was from the 18th until the 21st of August in Kansas City, sponsored by kind of a combination between KKFI, our affiliate in Kansas City, and some kind of media activists in the city. It was held at a Unitarian church. And there were a little more than 100 people at the conference, but it was a very good conference. It was very interesting because so many new people were at the conference because the conference was in the Midwest. And so it was very interesting. It really had the flavor of the Midwest. In terms of workshops, there were Pacifica had a presence. I really want to thank Otis. He arranged for two technical workshops. One was on the audio port, and the other was on other software which Pacifica provides to our affiliates, specifically a system for recording music that the stations are playing so that they are able to report more easily to the sound exchange because of the requirement for the internet, and also the software that he developed that archives the stations themselves. That you know, your stations all have the archive that he created, where the station gets archived on your website, the programs, and that software is also available to affiliates. Otis, is there anything else you want to say about that? No, he's probably not. Maybe he's not listening. So anyway, okay. Good. Okay. Great. Yeah. So that was.
Excuse me. This is Jessica. I just want to let you know I've been on the call for at least about 3 minutes here.
Okay.
Who is that? Sorry.
That was Jessica. But this is Teresa. I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. At the affiliates meeting?
Well, I actually it looked like 100. I actually did a head count and it was 55.
Oh, okay.
But it was more than half of the GRC.
Right.
And
you sent that
like, Yeah. I'll talk about that. And Otis also Otis also did a presentation for that meeting as well. So it was, it was good. So we did, the other workshops where we were present, I organized a workshop on weather, and I arranged a weather meteorologist to come down from Ames to do that together with some of the affiliate stations. And he actually offered to do a national call-in weather show for Pacifica if we wanted, which was kind of an interesting idea. And then I also participated in a workshop for the stations that are left to go on the air. There's about 100 stations left that need to go on the air, so we did a workshop on getting on the air. And then, like Otis said, we had a great affiliates meeting, more than 50 people. At the beginning of the meeting, we gave an award, a community service award to Betsy McDougall, who is the Native American station up at White Earth that came on this call, to really recognize the incredible work she did to get that station on the air. They actually did get on the air in time, which was nothing short of a miracle. She gave it about a 10-minute speech describing the situation, and it was very, very interesting. She came onto the job on May 1st, and they had to get on the air August 8th. So she literally had, 2 months or three months to May to get on the air. And when she got on there, both her lawyers and her engineers had all said that they would not do this project. They had canceled the project. And she literally had to, find ways to reverse that. And she also said something that was very astonishing, I think, to everybody in the room, including me, which was the referral for them to affiliate with Pacifica and to contact me was Clear Channel. Uh-huh. So that was very interesting to know that Clear Channel is making referrals to Pacifica, to send people to Pacifica for affiliation. So it's actually not entirely...
You have to put that on some kind of book of records or something.
This is John. I dropped. I'm just getting back on.
It's not completely unexplainable because we actually do... Our satellite is actually rented from Clear Channel, but it's kind of surprising that they're making referrals, so it's kind of nice to know.
Yay!
Also, Betsy did give a lot of recognition to Tom Voorhees, who is the engineer that I hooked up with them. It turns out Tom did not actually go to White Earth like I thought he did. He just did daily Skype calls with them and literally, helped them get on the air. So it was a very beautiful presentation. She got a standing ovation at the end, and there was just a really great feeling afterwards that we may be a poor network and we may not be the most efficient in the world, but we are a large group of people that are really dedicated to getting each other across the finish line, whatever the job is, that we're there to help each other, and there just isn't any feeling like that in the world. That's just as good as it gets. So It was really great. And then there were a lot of announcements. Yeah.
I want to know, you mentioned that there's a lot of new people. Did you get a feel that KKVI, had enough people so there wasn't a financial burden? And did you feel that, how did those new people come? I just want to know whether GRC is healthily growing, and what was the mood were there?
I think that GSC is making a positive transition from kind of the era of its founders. This was really the first GRC where there was really no. It was the second GRC where none of the founders were there. And there was a sense that there was like a year where it wasn't clear, is this conference going to continue? Because for those of you that don't know GRC very well, GRC does not have an organization that sustains it. It literally is just picked up every year by a station and organized year by year by whatever station decides to do it. So there is no guarantee of continuity. And so for about a year, the GRC didn't happen, and there was kind of a question, will it continue? And now there's really a sense that there's a renewed commitment to the conference. And it was a very upbeat and very enthusiastic sense that, yes, this is something people want to continue. And the Midwest is kind of joined it now in a way. So it was, you know, there was like this gentleman from New Orleans who was from a low power station that stuck it out in the storm. He came up to the GRC. There was just a, you know, a new group of people who don't make it to the coast. And as far as KKFI went, I'm not sure I understand your question. You know, they pulled off the conference. I'm not sure what your question was about that, but
I just wanted to know. I mean, I know that they start from scratch money wise. So I
well, actually, this year KMUD made money last year on the conference, and they were able to pass the money on to KKFI. So they had seed money. I don't know financially what happened this year. They probably don't know either yet. But it was a beautiful conference, and it was very nicely done.
I just wish I had been able to be there. I guess that's why I want to really kind of get a feel, because I really would love to have been there.
Well, there was a lot of barbecue eating in between everything. So, other highlights, I just real briefly, highlights at the conference, I mean at the affiliates meeting, I did talk about the portal project that we discussed during the last meeting. And there was a decided, very enthusiastic response from the general consensus of the meeting that this was the right time and the right project, that there was support for this. There was very much the feeling that there was a strong desire on the part of people in the network to have more ways to work with each other, more points of connection online, and that, you know, there was a real desire to move forward with something like this. After the affiliates meeting, there was a meeting of about 5 to 7 people who stayed on afterwards to discuss it further and to talk about ideas for it. Also, I spent quite a bit of time with the new administrator for FSRN, a gentleman named Alan from Oregon, and he was very clear about the fact that he was very, very interested in partnering with us in developing such a project, and that FSRN was, at least from his point of view, was a good partner, and they were interested in discussing this further with us. And he had a lot of ideas about it as well. So there was a lot of fresh energy that came to this project, which is very exciting, as well as some sort of public support for it from the affiliates. Also, at the end of on the last day of the conference, there was a general meeting of the conference. I brought to the table the issue of AMARC because the Americans are not officially considered a part of AMARC, the North Americans. And so there was a committee of North Americans formed at AMARC in Argentina to find out whether North Americans wanted to be part of this. And the GRC voted unanimously that they did want to be part of AMARC and would encourage all of the stations connected with GRC also to join AMARC. And so this is an initiative. This is an issue we're going to have to bring to the Affiliates Task Force and to the PNB at some point so that Pacifica also can make a statement on this. Also, certain members of the GRC have joined the committee to pursue this. Basically, the idea is we have to find out from a number of North American groups how they feel about the issue of joining AMARC, which AMARC, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is the International Community Radio Organization. And then as a result of the affiliates meeting, we got three prospective new affiliates. One of them is in Canada, and so hopefully by the next meeting I'll be able to report that those stations have affiliated. So in general, I would say the meeting at the GRC from the Pacifica standpoint was extremely positive. There was tremendous support and energy for the Pacifica network, which was really exciting to see that energy come back. And but I think that, you know, everybody I talked to also agreed that because of the economic pressures and the media pressures as media changes, that that bringing an economic dimension to our network would make it so much more real and, in a sense, would would make this moment in time, would make that, you know, would give the network a lasting potential instead of a temporary potential. And so there was tremendous interest in pursuing the kind of thinking that was discussed at our last meeting. Because in the end, you know, the economic bottom line can make the difference between something that feels like a dream and something that begins to really connect with a future. So there was tremendous interest in that as well. And I think that's pretty much the end of my report. I'm certainly happy to answer questions, but beyond that, I'm just going to be doing contracts, you know, nonstop.
And did you say all of our contracts are going to be two years now, or?
No, just the older contracts that really, you know, a lot of the newer contracts are in flux because the stations can't really pay the full amount yet and are working up to the, you know, the fee scale we ask. So those contracts are in flux. But the older stations who have been with us for a while and are paying a significant amount, there's not going to be a whole lot of flux there, so.
Ursula, did you mention, I know you said that you had talked quite a bit with the Free Speech Radio News folks, but they expressed interest in partnering with us on this project, the portal project?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, to be completely accurate, I spoke with their administrator, and he's very interested. As you know, FSRN is a collective, and so he can't speak for the organization. The organization makes collective decisions. But on his part, he was very, very interested. He made it clear that FSRN also has to build a new website that is much more in step with, you know, the future technology. And so, in a sense, you know, the question would be, are we going to build two separate websites, or are we going to, or, you know, is there, or can we do this, you know, under the Pacifica brand together with FSRN? And kind of create a combined momentum. And we both agreed that the level of public relations value would be much, much higher if we worked together. And also our probability of getting grant money is much higher. And it just on a lot of levels, it just makes more sense to work together. He felt that way very strongly. And I think it's only to Pacifica's benefit to look into the potential there.
Okay. Does anybody have any other questions of Ursula? Ursula, I think it might be helpful if you could identify some information, something written about AMARC to get that out to everyone as well.
Yeah, I will.
I will. Good.
I'll also, I have this all written down here, my outline of what I just said. So, Teresa, I promise I will send this in due time this month.
Okay.
And I'll post it to the listserv, too, so that any of you want to take this to your LSB meetings or to the PNB, you know, you'll have the report available.
Thanks so much, Ursula.
One more thing. I'm sorry. I did bring up the survey at the meeting, and one person did tell me, gave me a list of questions, and I passed those on to Dina by phone.
Right. So I'd like to move into that item, actually, which is a discussion about the survey and the implementation of the survey. And I wondered if Dina and Ursula could talk a little bit about that, where we are in this and how you think we should move forward on this.
Well, let me pull it up. How's that?
That'd be great.
I'll just say something briefly and then let Dina take over because she's really done the bulk of the work. I think in my email I said it all. I think at this point we need to do a little bit more work on the questions, but I think we're getting close. Number two, I think we just need to work out who's going to work on it and a process. And number three, I did run into this person in Ames who is interested in doing statistics, and I want to talk to her and see if she can give us some advice on how to format this so we can get the most information out of this possible. And having said that, Dina, I'll pass it on to you.
I have another question before we move on. Teresa, can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
In our last meeting, I noticed you said that you were going to include a question perhaps about simulcasting. And,
yeah.
And I think there was another question that you thought might have come up from that conversation. But did you say that FSRN expressed interest in the Portal Project, or that the affiliates at GRC expressed interest in the Portal Project?
Both.
All right. So will there be some questions on the survey that can maybe feel out how they want to participate in the Portal Project and whether they have anything to contribute in any certain way? It doesn't have to be under the term Portal Project, but...
I think some of the questions kind of point in that direction, but we could look at it again, and if there's any other more pointed questions, we could add them.
Okay. I just wondered. Thank you.
Okay. Dina, you want to take it from here?
Okay. Did you read the email, Ursula, that I sent on your behalf?
No.
Did you get to read that yet?
No.
Okay. Today, I said you were going to be traveling and you weren't sure you were going to be on the at the meeting. So what I did is I took down the notes that you gave me and I wrote the questions that Marianne Knorzer, Program Director at KMUD, suggested. So I basically have three. I'm not in the same form you guys are, but basically what we have is a very comprehensive survey, and it, what I don't have, it's on it in a separate email that Ursula sent, are the questions that Joe sent for Native American programming. So I thought what we would do is hopefully those that are online tonight have either additions or questions about what is present, and that we set up a subcommittee to complete this. Or maybe we can just start at the beginning and go from there. I don't know the format that anybody's interested in reading this in. So we'll just start at the beginning.
I have a question. So this is the email you're referring to is entitled "More Survey Information for This Evening ATF Meeting."
That's the last part of it. Ursula sent the survey, which is in two parts, and it's you have to go to Yahoo Groups to get it. It's in the file, and so you can access the survey while we're talking about it. And the other piece is that, so there's the Joseph questions, there's the Marianne questions, and there's the actual survey, which is in two parts. So that's four different pieces of paper, so to speak, that we're speaking from. So the first part of the survey just simply says the survey is being conducted by the 2011 affiliate task force members in a way that guarantees the anonymity of you, the respondent, and respects the confidentiality of the data received. The purpose of gathering the data is to use it for information gathering and goal-setting strategies for both the affiliate task force and the Pacifica National Board. Our intention is to help the Pacifica Network investigate who we are, what our strengths and weaknesses are, and to be more informed with information to build a stronger and more supportive base within the Pacifica Network as a whole. This knowledge will inform all of us about our radio community and how we can better help all of us, especially during this time period. So that's the way we would start the survey, so everybody's clear. And basically, each station in terms of the analysis is just given a number, and this will be, when it's finished, in an Excel spreadsheet, and we just compile the numbers in a way that makes sense so that we, because hopefully with about 170 stations, we can't have longhand answers. So all I did really was take Ursula's initial questions and try and put it into a shorter form. So the first part of the survey, which comprises basically 12 questions and one has several parts to it, is to get general information. And we, the affiliate task force, who are making these phone calls, can get most of that information from their website. So let's say I accept taking 10 stations that I will call to get the survey from. I will first go on 10 websites for the stations I've been assigned and look up this first portion of information, what their call letters are, what the city of license is, the website name, the manager, the telephone number, cell phone number, email, emergency contact, appropriate listening audience. That should all be there. Approximate listening audience size, approximate potential listening. Do I have that twice? 9 and 10?
Dina, can I break in for a second?
Yeah.
In terms of the call letters, the city of license, I can provide that because I have that. And
You're going to do 170 of those? We're trying to help you, Ursula.
Yeah,
you really...
I know, but that's something that I can do in an hour because I have it on a spreadsheet. What I can't do is to go to their program schedules and see whether they're taking Democracy Now, Free Speech Radio News.
Let me just finish with this.
And I would like to ask two questions. I would like to ask how many other people on this call are actually looking at the survey.
Hello?
I am. This is Heather. I am.
Well, pardon my ignorance, but I need some assistance finding it on Google Groups if you really want me to be able to look at it. Because otherwise, I'm just going to sit here.
Ursula, where did you send it? Teresa, did you
get the email written from me?
When? Which one?
It was
yesterday.
Sent to everybody, Teresa. You got it.
It was sent yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay, well, I'll look for that. Okay, just to bear with me.
If you look to that for that email, there's a link on there to the files, and it's the fourth and the fifth file, fourth and the fifth document from the top of the page.
Okay, so the only question that I've seen on listserv so far is why did we ask racial ethnicity? And my response to that is early at the GRC meetings, maybe 8-9 years ago, there was a great deal of emphasis on racial diversity awareness anyway. And so what we're trying to see is what the makeup of these stations are on some level so that we can know who's in our network.
Right. I think another reason for that, too, is because, and this is the motivation that Marianne had for her questions. Her motivation, what she wanted to use the survey for, was to find like-minded stations with her station that were similar, that she could talk with them about, you know, shared experience or support or whatever. So I think they're, you know, different stations in the network are interested in finding similar stations. So that would be another reason for having that information. I have to admit I'm a little bit ambivalent about asking questions like that, but I can see the use for it.
Dina, I just have a question here.
Uh-huh.
about this. One of the things I'd just like to go back up to what you were saying about approximate listening audience size and then approximate potential listening.
Audience.
Those are two different things, actually. Yeah. So potential.
Yeah, I realized it.
Right.
Yeah,
but
that's not something that you're going to be able to look up. That's a real pain to find that out. You're going to have to ask the station.
See what they say.
Heather, what's your question, honey?
My question is going down to the racial ethnicity section, which I think you were just talking about, right?
Yeah.
Is that asking what is your primary audience or what is your or your producers or what is it? What's the question? Who are you asking that of, actually? So you have Caucasian, African American, Asian Pacific. So is that
audience?
I don't know. I'm asking what was everybody thinking? Or what were you all thinking when it? So you're saying audience. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying audience, but you know, this isn't my survey. This is just so those of you who are on the call, how would you like the question to be formed? At this point, are we interested in the audience, and maybe later down we'll ask programs? Do we want to ask this twice, once as audience and the second one as programming? This is only a draft. Whatever people want.
Any comments, anyone?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Marianne from K-Mud.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, y'all.
read my email. I'm so happy.
I did. I just couldn't figure out how to make myself talk on this phone when you come up quiet. So, and I didn't know how to, so I figured it out finally. So on this racial ethnicity question, I took it as what is your listening audience? Who are you? Who are you broadcasting to?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I see it to be kind of important, I mean, there's a part of me that doesn't like the question, and there's a part of me that likes it. I think about it as far as grants, and I think about it as far as what you said like 8 years ago when diversity was a big deal. We were really wanting to bring more diversity into our radio stations. But other than that, you know, I can't see. I would like to know, like, if Hispanish is a Hispanic station and I'm looking for to tie in with something I'm doing, I can go get a hold of a Hispanic station and maybe grab more information from them in their local area or something. So it would be useful in that way.
So is it useful to say what is your primary racial ethnic audience? Would that give clarity to it?
Definitely, if you use a word of audience or programmers, that would at least pinpoint it to what you're asking. You know, are you asking audience or are you asking about, like, how many, African-American programmers do you have on your station?
I've changed it to audience. I'm just wondering whether we also need the word primary. Because, for instance, in some of the, for instance, the sister stations, that are in urban areas are a mix. And if I think of, I'm from BAI, I'm not sure how the general manager would answer this. I mean, it's primarily...
Well, it seems like you might have to ask... first of all, I would take out the word racial. I find that kind of jarring for... I mean, we're talking about ethnicity. We're cultural institutions.
Okay. So but, what's your ethnic audience? But, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, could you first ask is, you know, does your station reflect, a one ethnic culture or more or something like that? Does that make sense?
Can I ask
Excuse
a question?
Me.
This is Kim.
Can
we
just
step
back as well? This is Jessica.
This is
Jessica?
more interested in what's your primary kind of programming. Is it public affairs and news or music? Is it local or national? I mean, is that
we
helpful?
Have that later on.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think it's really important you added local and national. That wasn't on there. That's good.
Mm-hmm. But also, if you start with that, then...
Well, I have to find it to put it in. I'm sorry, but we are on four different sheets here.
Go ahead, Kim.
It's confusing.
I mean, if you start with what kind of programming, then you can maybe drill down into it's hard to ask what race, you know, people are.
Can I ask you? Hi, this is Jessica from KPFT.
Hi.
Hear me? Okay. I'm wondering if maybe the language could be softened by saying what do you consider, or in other words, is your largest listener group a certain ethnicity, or to have several ethnicities listed and say, please check in order of listener or perceived listenership? Because it's all just a consideration. They could be wrong, but they might be considered, like sometimes people consider our station to be a Caucasian or a country or, you know, something to that effect. So I'm sure that they have some kind, there's a perception already of them in their own neighborhood. Maybe you could just, you know, touch on what are you considered, or what racial ethnicity are you considered to serve, you know, taking out of their hands. It's not their own opinion.
Sort of like on a scale of 1 to 4 or something, 1 to 5.
Yeah, so, you know, who's your strongest racial community member? You know, is there the strongest of the races, or who is most represented in your listenership of these ethnicities that we have listed, or fill in who you perceive to be your largest listenership, or by race? You could word it differently, so that it's not really, we're needing this for a good reason, because I need to know if this is a Hispanic community that we're serving. So it's not necessarily a negative. I think just the language might be softened up a little bit, add, you know, the perception or the consideration of the community.
This is John, D-A-R. Would it add or detract if we try and break it down by time period, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, that kind of thing? Would that be more helpful or more confusing? Because things change during the course of a day.
This is Kim. I mean, also, you could ask what's the primary age group.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's certainly a problem for our stations, you know, network-wide. You know, they're old and getting older. So they say, you know.
That would be a hard one.
You know,
Kim,
that's another really good question, you know. Maybe we should ask if some of the stations have youth programs.
What's your primary, what community are you're serving? Who lives in your community? You know, of people who listen to your station. Do you have, you know, programs for older people and younger people? But what, you know, what's your primary focus? You know, if it's music, you know, look at PFW. You know, they have a certain community that they serve, mostly through jazz. And that's their kind of music. And I guess, I don't know whether, you know, I don't know that, yeah.
Oh, this is John. How would the station know this information? Talking about the smaller affiliates. How would they know this information?
I personally think the smaller it is, the probably more they know.
I think most stations figure out one way or the other because they base their programming on that. You know, I mean, speaking as somebody who's trying to doing that right now, you study your community pretty intensely. Because it's
But I would have to disagree with you. If you look at BAI, we have an older audience, but that's not who we're serving with our programming. In fact, they took my program off, which served the older population.
Well, so, BAI is kind of...
who's being served? Who's being served at BAI then?
Who's it serving? Potential listeners.
Excuse me, this is Jessica. Is there a way to ask maybe for them to assess what percentage of their programming? How many shows do you have that reach out to age group this and that? Or how many youth shows do you have? How many different racially targeted shows? Do you have any Latino programming? Do you have any blues or, sorry for blues because that's also American, but do you know what I mean? Like if you could break that up, because a lot of us programmers hear it during the show. We get a lot of calls or a lot of programmers might get input by email or you'll see the during membership drives who makes the most, and that kind of tells me who our biggest listenership is in a way. So I think you can have them tell you how many programs do they have. It's almost like applying for you're doing the right thing. If you have so much programming older, so much programming for youth, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I keep writing what all of you are saying as opposed to, coming. Yeah.
This is John again.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be helpful if we found out what they see as their target current audience and then ask them what they see as their target audience. In other words, if they currently have older listeners and they want to bring in a younger listener, can we ask them to profile their current versus where they're trying to go? And also perhaps map that against the demographics of...
Can I ask you something? How is that going to really serve us in the survey as to what our network looks like right now? I'm only asking the question, not in a derogatory way, just I keep wondering how long a survey this should be at... Because we want it to be complete, but are we asking too finite a question that really doesn't serve us in looking at the network and its present-day needs?
Well, Marianne, are you still on the call?
I am.
You're a program director, so you're one of the people that would get this survey. Out of this language, which of the language would you find... you feel you could really respond to in an intelligent way?
I think it would be really hard for me to break down my listenership. I mean, because I don't even have a number of my listeners. I know my potential listeners as far as the population of this county, but to break it down, I probably would skip all those questions because that would just take me too much time to really go through every, and it would be guesswork on that. So I don't think I would actually know... how many youth or, what cultures I'm totally hitting. I mean, it's obvious for our American Indian show that, yes, we're hitting the American Indians that like that show. So breaking it down that much would be hard.
What about the language Kim used where she said, how do you perceive the people in your community? Can you respond to that question? Like, what community are you serving? Can you respond to that?
Can I add something? The reason why we need this, on paper, I can't tell what the station's focus is, and I a lot of times need it on paper when I'm recommending radio stations to other people in other states. I'm in Houston, but I may never know that you serve a American Indian, Native American population. So if you write that down on that form, that actually helps some of us out. So that's the way I'm looking at it. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I could totally see that as far as the way that someone else, I think from KPFT, describes it as the percentage of what you do. I can see filling that out to where I can say, yes, I have an older population that listens more than others. We do have youth, so we serve the youth in some way. The American Indian, you know, we do serve that to some way. So if I broke it down that way.
So if we ask, do you serve these populations and list them, and you can just check the ones?
Right, where you were saying, like, a Caucasian, I would say, like, 80% of my people are Caucasians, you know, and I break it down to that. I can see that being a possibility on my end, for sure, and useful. So I know when I look at someone else's breakdown, you know, then I know where to go if I need more of that particular type of program, or if a grant comes my way for African Americans, I can toss it their way, something like that.
This is Heather. I just was thinking that there are so many ideas out here, and I think when we were talking earlier about the racial or ethnicity of the audience, I think probably primarily what we're talking about here are the programs that we're offering. I think the assumption is that the programs we're offering are then serving that community.
Sure.
And I just need to mention that, you know, the list here is a good start, but, you know, I mean, here at our station in Atlanta, at WRFG, we have, you know, everything from the African diaspora we have, you know, we, of course, I have a lot of programs for the Caribbean community, the Jamaican community. We have African shows. We have from India, we have an Indian show. We have, you know, actually it's quite international in scope, in addition to also appealing to the European Americans, you know, through blues, jazz, bluegrass. It's just massive. So I'm thinking that maybe it might be helpful for us to just all of us coming up with a list of the various audiences that we can or programs that we have that we could perhaps include on this, and then see what we could do with it on the survey. Because if somebody asked me this question, you know, Caucasian, Black, African American, and so forth, I would have to add a lot more to this list, actually.
But don't you think it would get really out of control? I mean, it's huge.
Well, you know, I would say it is huge, but, you know, one of the things I was thinking, if we have quite a bit of this information, it really shows the incredible integrity of the work that we're doing, because we're serving this remarkable diversity of populations in the United States. I mean, it's just huge, and
yeah.
It's very impressive. And I think that if we had this information and we were submitting it and telling the rest of the United States that this is what we're doing, it's very impressive.
I agree.
It's very, very impressive. And so I don't know. We just have to figure out how to do it, I guess. But
yeah.